I want you to picture the scene. I'm just 21 years old, just finished my degree, and I've gone to do some training with Youth for Christ. And they are sending me down to a place I've never been before. I'm going down to deepest, darkest rural Devon, and I'm going to be, having never been in Christian ministry before, I'm going to be in Christian ministry. I'm going to be leading a team of four other young people. And I'm going to be doing a pioneering schools work project, even though I've never even done an assembly before. And so here I am on the way. So a picture the scene. There are five of us young people and the guy who's going to kind of lead us for a year, oversee us from a distance. And he gets us in a proper countrified Land Rover, 12-seater Land Rover. We're in there. The youngest guy, who's 17, he's in the back of the Land Rover with a guitar on one side of him and all of our stuff for the whole year. We've just done this commissioning service and we go off down the M5 and we head down to Devon, and it is dark before we get there and we are winding around these roads. I get a bit travel sick. I'm winding around these roads. I've got my cuddly white bunny in my hand, my arm. I mean, I'm 21, but I need that bunny. And I get there, and we arrive, and on my left is a beautiful farmhouse where I'm going to stay because they've got nowhere for me to live, so I'm just going to stay there for now. And on the right of me, complete darkness. I have no idea where I am. And then the other four, they get out of the car, and there are different people because we're all going to live in different places, and they are whizzed off in their cars with all of their stuff. And I go into this farmhouse with all my stuff for the year, and I get taken into their living room, and they've got a whole load of friends over. It's Saturday night. They're all farmers. They have got the thickest Devon accents you've ever heard. And they're all talking and laughing, and I'm sitting there thinking, I've no idea what they're saying. I'm in a foreign land. I just don't know what I'm doing here. And I go to bed that night and I shut the curtains. Well, there's no need to shut the curtains because it's completely dark. And I get into bed and it is completely dark. I don't know if I've ever slept in such complete darkness before. And I'm just like, God, you're going to have to help me. I need you. I need to know that you're with me. I need to know that you care about me. I need to know that you're going to give me what I need and you're going to lead me in this time. I need you to be my shepherd. And the next morning I woke up, opened the curtains, and it's October. It's like a sunny autumn morning. There's a beautiful tree with lovely coloured leaves on it, and the rolling hills of Devon with sheep in the distance and chicken in the farmyard. And I just was like, God, you're here. And I never saw myself as like a country girl before that, but I think my love of the country started there, and my deeper understanding of Jesus being my shepherd really began to work there as I would go off for walks over the land. I was working really hard. I didn't have a car. I couldn't drive actually when I first went down there. So I was completely stranded on my days off. And I used to just go and just chat to Jesus, my shepherd. And so we're going to continue our series this morning with I Am. And we're going to be talking about I Am the Good Shepherd. And what we've already discovered in this series is that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He is saying, he is associating himself with God. Because when God reveals who he is to Moses in the Old Testament, he says, I am who I am. I am God. I am Lord. And so every time he makes one of these statements, the people listening knew that he was saying, I'm God. And a couple of weeks ago, Damien did the passage that was just before this, which was, I am the door. I am the door to the sheep. I am the gateway. I am the way that the sheep can get into the pen to know God, and how Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He is the one and only way to God. And then Jesus then reveals this next bit. And we're going to read from John 10, verses 11 to 18, and it should come up on your screen. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The people who were listening to him, they were surrounded by sheep and shepherds. So they knew, it was part of their culture and their heritage. So they kind of knew what he meant when he was talking about shepherds, what that meant. And also the people listening to him, they were the people of God. And there were lots of references to shepherds in the Old Testament as leaders. And some of their most prominent people, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, David, they had all been shepherds. So they would have understood what Jesus was saying when he was saying, I am the good shepherd. But not only that, God is described, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is described as a shepherd in the Old Testament. So again, Jesus is associating himself with God. But he doesn't just say, I am a shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's saying a little bit more than just, I am the shepherd. Now, we use the word good a lot. You know, I could say I saw a good film yesterday. And what I mean by that, it was entertaining, but actually probably not all of it was glorifying to Jesus and actually morally good. I can say I had a really good burger yesterday, and I did. And it was delicious, but it wasn't necessarily good for me in every single way. We use the word good like, that was good, yeah, you know. But actually, when Jesus says good, he is saying he is, you know, when Jesus is good, he is morally perfect. He is excellent. He is pure. He is above all things. And he is good. And he does good. And so when he says he is good, it's like there's a richness to that goodness. It's more than a good burger. But also, Jesus was also contrasting himself to the other leaders of the day. The chapter just before this in John 9, a blind man gets healed, somebody who's been blind from birth, and he's healed. But the leaders, the shepherds, the ones who are taking care of them, the shepherds of the day, what is their response? Their response is to call an investigation, and they do an investigation. They drag in his parents. Was he really blind? Was, you know, they kind of give him the 10th degree, 9th degree, what is it, whatever degree, and they pull him in, and they're not happy because he was healed on the Sabbath. Like, they are not happy at all. This man that needed God, needed a savior, met his savior. This is how they conclude. In John 9, verse 34, they said, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. This man that needed a savior, they investigated him. They told him, you were steeped in sin at birth, and how dare you lecture us? And they chucked him out. Jesus was speaking in a time where the leaders of his day were not necessarily good leaders. They were bad leaders. They were getting it wrong. Maybe some of them were self-seeking and more concerned about their position, their reputation, or their power that they were wielding. But they had misunderstood God. And Jesus had seen his people wandering, and it says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them, and he wanted to gather them up. He revealed himself as a good shepherd into the context where the people needed direction. They needed protecting from themselves. They needed to know what true love is. This world that Jesus was speaking into sounds a little bit like what we're living in right now. I don't know about you. Well, we need a leader. We need a good shepherd to lead us and guide us in this time. And so that very familiar description, we're going to run through it, what Jesus meant by good shepherd. And in doing that, I want to read us the most famous psalm, probably you'll hear a lot, but it's full of richness. And so if I may, I'm going to read it for you. And I'd just like you to close your eyes just so you can just, maybe God will just show you one thing. I'm just going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love, or your mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your beautiful, timeless words. So when Jesus said he's a shepherd, he was saying he is, number one, a shepherd who is with us, a shepherd who is our friend. The Lord chose to reveal himself as a shepherd, even in the Old Testament. Sometimes we think the Old Testament God is a bit distant, but he decided to reveal himself as a shepherd in the Old Testament. And shepherds weren't the highest leaders in society, but God revealed himself as somebody who was caring, who was tender, who would guide them and was with us. He wasn't distant. And in Jesus, he showed that completely, what kind of shepherd he was, because he came close in Jesus. And he's not distant in the hard times. He doesn't promise that we won't face trouble. In fact, you know, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know about you, but over the last 2 years, I have needed to know that God is with me. And it's been hard. He promises there will be trouble, but I've known him with me. When I've gone out for my walks, I love to go out for a walk over the, we live just on the edge of this estate, and we're just to walk over those fields and just say, like in the last couple of months, I've gone, Jesus, you're my shepherd. I don't even know if I've got the energy to talk very much, but I'm just with you. And I'm having a walk with Jesus, my shepherd, and I'm just going to follow you. He is the Lord. He is a shepherd who is with us. And in Hebrew, it's the Lord my shepherd is Jehovah Rohi, which means shepherd, but it also can mean a friend and a sense of somebody being with us. Even in the Old Testament, he is that shepherd. The second thing he shows us is he is a shepherd who gives rest and restoration. He says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He will give us rest. Don't we need that today? Even more so, we have this relentless, we're working relentlessly to achieve things and we never seem to achieve it. We're working to have stuff that was never quite enough. We're constantly trying to kind of, you know, control situations and do different things. And it's like, we just need a rest. We're constantly bombarded with messages and just images and different things. And it is tiring. We're living in a tiring world. When I was preparing this today, I felt like God was saying, I want to invite you into rest. It might be that you need to really discover what having a Sabbath rest is, what it is to have Sabbath and have some time off. But by rest, I do not mean sitting and watching Netflix or sitting scrolling through your social media or gaming. Something that's going to give you rest and restoration for our souls. I'm not good at this, but I'm learning. But when it says he makes you lie down in green pastures, you know, I literally last term had somebody say, I'm paying for you to go on retreat. Go on retreat. I felt like, you know, all right, Jesus, my shepherd, he's providing a way for me to go and have some time that is focused on him, where he restores our soul. Last week at the youth event we went to, he was talking and he talked about this generation that are destroying their souls. And I don't think it's just young people who are destroying their souls. We're selling our souls and our time to endless scrolling. And it's killing us. It's killing us. It is. If we reflect, we need our souls restoring. And so I feel like that Jesus might be inviting you today. Like, you know, maybe there's some stuff that you need to stop watching, stop doing, to take some time out so you can truly focus on the one who can restore your soul. I want to read you a quote from an email I got from someone this week who said this. And yes, coming off social media has been a little bit of a revelation for me. I've actually felt my brain starting to rewrite itself. My memory is improving. I'm sleeping better. And I think I'm even a nicer person. Scary to think of how much my life I've wasted on there in the past decade. He says, I felt my brain rewriting itself, my memory improving, I'm sleeping better. I think I'm even becoming a nicer person. The Lord is inviting us into rest and restoration. The third thing that he shows is that he's a shepherd who guides. He says that he guides me along the right path or righteous path for his name's sake. I don't know that much about sheep, but what I do know from what I've heard is that they're a bit stupid and they just wander off and they do their own thing. They've just got no idea what's going on. And we've got a shepherd who wants to guide us. And sometimes, if we're honest, we're a little bit stupid. But he wants us to spend time with him. And the only way we're going to know those right paths is if we spend time listening to him and spend time in his word and in his truth. It reminds me of when Jesus says, like in the parable of the lost sheep, when the sheep has wandered off, that he left the 99 and he went and he got a sheep. And even though the sheep might have been injured and it might have hurt itself, he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home and he rejoices over it. Do you know, like God said to me today, I'm a shepherd, Faye. He's standing here with me. And just you lot are just sheep. We're just all sheep. That's all we are. But he loves us and he knows us and he wants to invite us into time with him. And he really loves you. Like, and he rejoices over you when he brings you home. And I read this story of something that happened a year ago. And before you see the photo of it, I want you to just tell you about this. I'm going to show you a photo of Barak, the sheep, who went wandering in Australia and was missing for 5 years. And the thing about sheep is that they need to be shorn and like clipped and, you know, looked after. But this sheep was not looked after. Now, let me reveal the photo. Hopefully we have a photo. Can you see that? It's not that good. Okay, that is, like, I'll just turn, could you just turn the light off just there for a second so people can see it? Okay, yeah, that's better. I mean, this poor sheep, look at the weight of that wool. The sheep can't see. The sheep can't eat because it's so, like, full of stuff. I mean, it looks like it's just cocooned in its fleece. And they brought this sheep in and they decided they were going to restore the sheep, so they shorn the sheep and they did their stuff. And then let's see, that this is a before and after. Ready for the after? Ooh, leg. Oh, Barak the sheep looks so much better, and it was malnourished because it hadn't eaten properly. And so they lovingly brought this sheep back to life. Could we go back to the other picture for a moment? So when I was reading this and looking at it, I was feeling like, could you put the light back on? Thanks. When I was looking at it, sorry, you can't see it quite so well now, but I was thinking, I just wonder whether some of us have wandered off a little bit and we are full of the weights of the world that we shouldn't be carrying. And some of us, we need to hand it all over to God. And he wants to lovingly take the weights off of us. And he wants to lovingly feed you from his word. He wants to lovingly restore you and heal you. God's calling you today. He wants to guide you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants to lift that off of you. The fourth thing that he says, he's a shepherd who comforts us. And we all want to be comforted. It says that I will, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, we all want, you know, there's been fearful times, hasn't there, to know God's with us and the comfort from that fear. And he is that loving, tender God. But isn't it interesting? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That doesn't sound very comforting. The staff was used to grab hold of the sheep when they're going into danger or prod them up the bum when they needed to go in, like, you know, a certain direction. I just wonder today, like it says in Hebrews that he's a father who disciplines us, every good father disciplines us, and that he comforts us, but he also, sometimes he needs to give us a little prod in the right direction. He wants to hook us back from that danger. I just wonder if there's people here today who are in danger and Jesus just wants to pull you back, or you're just stuck where you are and he just wants to give you a little prod, spiritual prod up the bottom. And because he is a shepherd who comforts us. The fifth thing he says, he's a shepherd who wants to speak to us. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And later in John 10, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, God loves to invite us, you know, in the midst of when our difficult times, he wants to invite us to fellowship with us, with him. And it says, you know, he invites us to be at his table. And, you know, there's nothing like sitting around a table, eating together to chat and to talk and to fellowship. God wants you at his table. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to be in his presence and to know that fellowship. And he wants you to know his voice. But like I said earlier, this world is bombarded all the time and it is noisy, and we have to go aside to get to know the Father's voice, to know the voice of the shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. One of our really close family members used to be a sheep farmer, and so when I went down to see him a little while ago, we were watching Matt Baker's farm program. There's loads of farm programs on at the moment, isn't there? I love that one. But anyway, I started to ask him about his sheep, and it was like he came alive. You know, it's like he's retired from farming now, but here, farming is in his blood. And he was telling me about all these sheep, and they weren't pedigree sheep, and the different sheep he had. He knew his sheep. He knew all about them. And they would have known his voice, because believe me, he is Devonshire as Devonshire could be. And I'm sure that the sheep would know his voice, because they get to know him. In my family, I can usually tell who's coming through the back door by the way they come through the back door, or who's coming down the stairs by the way they come down the stairs. I don't even need to hear their voices. And sometimes their voices change, which is very confusing. But usually I know my family's voice, because I hear them so much. God wants us to know his voice. He wants us to be part of his family. And there is such joy in fellowship with him. But we do need to take that time aside to listen to his voice through his word, and to quieten down our spirit and listen to what he wants to say to us. The sixth thing he's saying is a shepherd who fills us with his spirit and gives us joy. It says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup, it overflows. Anointing we often associate with the Holy Spirit. God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit on you. And, you know, that Holy Spirit equips you for whatever he's called you to. And, you know, and that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Holy Spirit fills us with joy to give us strength. But also a shepherd would use the oil to kind of bring healing, and if there's like pests that were, you know, to prevent pests from staying on the sheep. And, you know, he also, you know, I don't have to be prophet to say, you know, there are probably people here who are hurting today. And there's probably some people here where there's some stuff stuck in their life, which is sucking the life out of you. And this morning, Jesus just wants to gently pour his Holy Spirit oil on you and bring his healing, because he is a shepherd who fills us with his spirit and gives us joy. And lastly, it says that he's a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In the passage we read in John 10, he's not a hired hand. He loves his sheep. He owns them. He loves them. They are worth everything to him. And so he'd be willingly lay down his life for the sheep. Sheep were seen, were a sacrifice for atonement for sin. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, who is the shepherd, would do the opposite thing? Like, he would lay down his life. He would become the sheep, the sacrifice for sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he was paying for everything that you and I have done wrong and opening a way for all who want to come and follow him, including that blind man who so desperately needed him in John 9. It's amazing that the shepherd would do that for the sheep, don't you think, when you think about that? But to think about a shepherd doing that for a sheep is one thing. But think about the God of the whole universe who created us doing that for us. It's actually quite mind-blowing. And you may not know him today, and you may be watching online and you don't know him. And I just want to say that Jesus is your good shepherd. He died for you so you can be part of his family. He makes a place for him so we can enjoy him enjoy eternity with him. When he says he will dwell in the house of God forever. That is so good. That's so good. And just as a little side note, it says goodness and love, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. And my mentor, Grace Turner, she would say that she thinks of goodness and mercy like two shepherd dogs. Have we got the pictures of them? Yeah, oh, look. That they're two sheepdogs. That was your shepherd's dog, sheepdogs, who come up behind and are like going, you know, just rounding you up with goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. That doesn't necessarily mean that all will be well. Doesn't promise that. But he's got you, and you can trust him, and that he is good, and his love endures forever, and that never changes. We trust in the character of God, and that, you know, just to know him. So today, he is your good shepherd. It might be that he wants to reassure you this morning that he is a shepherd who is with you. It may be that he is calling you to take rest seriously, and he wants to restore your soul. It may be that he wants to tend you this morning, like he wants to teach you his ways of righteousness and bring his healing and take that weight off of you. It might be he wants to give you the kind of comfort he gives, a little prod up the bum. And maybe he wants you to know his voice and for you to stop and listen. Stop and pause and hear his voice. And I know he wants to fill us all with his spirit this morning. And I know that he wants you to come to him. So I'm just going to read Psalm 23 over us again. If you just close your eyes. Just take a moment of quiet. The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. He guides you along the right path for his name's sake. And even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil, for he is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those of us who feel far off or just feel weighed down with the weight of life. Lord, will you just draw us close to your tender heart this morning?
And Lord, will you let your Holy Spirit flow over these people this morning? Lord, bring your healing where you need to bring your healing. Restore where you need to restore. And Lord, I pray that we'll get to know your voice. Holy Spirit, just come now.